Okay. Before God's servant will come to bring the word of God to us this morning, earlier on, I asked of this man if he was already in the house. Just while the choir were ministering, he and his wife walked in. Dr. Roel Ubogu, a senior lecturer here in this university, and only recently was appointed as the director of investment of Delta State University. Dr. Roel Ubogu has been a personal friend. In fact, the letter that took me to Winners Baptist Church in Warri in 2001 to pastor that church was written by Dr. Ubogu. We've been together for a long time. He was in town because of the thanksgiving of the registrar of the university yesterday. They stayed over. And last night when we met, he promised me he's coming to worship in our Savior's Chapel today. He and his wife are here. And by virtue of his recent appointment, he's going to be very regular in town. And he has assured me whenever he's here, he will always come to worship in our Savior's Chapel. Help me celebrate Dr. and Mrs. Roel Ubogu. Let's put our hands together. We are glad to have you, sir. You are welcome, sir. The Lord will continue to increase you, bless you, and grant you great exploits to succeed in the onerous task that has been entrusted to you in Jesus' name. We welcome you, sir. We welcome you, ma. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. He's a Baptist, but now that he's here, he comes to this interdenominational chapel, and he will continue to be here. Thank you, sir. We appreciate your coming. Now it is time for God to speak to us, and we have his servant in the house, whom he has prepared to bring his word to us this morning. I want us to wait on the Lord and listen as the Lord speaks to us. Amen.
Let's stand on our feet. Just give glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Give him praise wherever you are. Lift up your hands to the Holy One and begin to thank you for this privilege. It's only the living that can be in his presence. The dead cannot celebrate his goodness. Give him praise wherever you are. Worship the King of Glory. Say, Father, I'm grateful to you for bringing me to your presence this morning. It's a privilege to be in your presence. I'm not taking it for granted. Thank you, my Father in heaven. Blessed be your name. Lord, we worship you. Thank you, Spirit of the living God. You are highly exalted, magnified. We worship you. We praise you earnestly for your greatness. Thank you, our Father. Thank you, our Father. We appreciate you. In Jesus' name we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this privilege this morning, asking that you will minister to every one of us in your presence, in the name of Jesus. Speak expressly to us, Lord, and let your word be life to us, healing, deliverance to us in the name of Jesus. I hide myself in the cross. I ask that your presence will be felt, your name will be glorified, your words will be heard in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While you are standing, open your Bible to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 21. We're going to read from verse 17. Acts 21 from verse 17. And when we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. When he had greeted them, he told them in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. And they said to him, "You see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. But they have been informed about you, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, not to walk according to the customs. What then does the enemy most certainly meet? For they will hear that you have come. Therefore do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Take them and be purified with them. Pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads, and that all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing, but that you yourself also walk orderly and keep the law. But concerning the Gentiles who believe, we have written and decided that they should observe no such thing, except that they should keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. Verse 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, having been purified with them, entered the temple to announce the expiration of the days of purification, at which time an offering should be made for each one of them. Now when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defied this holy place. For they have previously seen Trophimus, the official within the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was disturbed. And the people ran together, seized Paul, and dragged him out of the temple. And immediately the doors were shut. Now as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commander came here and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains. And he asked who he was and what he had done. And some among the multitude cried one thing and some another. So when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to be taken into the barracks. When he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying out, "Away with him." Verse 37. Then as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, "May I speak to you?" He replied, "Can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up a rebellion and led the 4,000 assassins out into the wilderness?" For Paul said, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I implore you, permit me to speak to the people." So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hands to the people. And when there was in great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying, we'll continue in the course of the message to read some verses from chapter 2. Let's have our seats. Our topic today is the gospel on trial. That's the topic of our discussion this morning. The gospel on trial. The gospel on trial. Now, from the passage we read, you can see obviously a key character in this passage. That's Paul. Paul in this passage. Of course, from the conversion of Paul in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, from that time the Lord spoke to him that there are so many things that he will be suffering. And as he began to preach from one city to the other, so many things Paul passed through in the course of his journeys, in the course of his messages, in the course of his preaching, he passed through a lot of things. In fact, what Paul was carrying about was actually the gospel. So when we talk about the gospel on trial, we are talking about the things that came to attack what Paul was carrying. And in fact, the truth is that it was those who carried the gospel that were actually on the trials, as it were. Because they were attacked, they were faced. You can see what Paul passed through in this very passage that we read. But we must understand what the gospel is all about. What is the gospel? In various passages of scripture, sometimes we refer to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation, the gospel of the Lord, the gospel of grace, and all that. The gospel is about Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Everything that Jesus did to bring man out of darkness to the light is the gospel.
The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, that Jesus, you know, that the power of God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. So the gospel is about the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, the life that he came to give to us. And we must understand that right from the very beginning when Jesus came, so many things came up trying to stop him. I see the trials of the gospel as many things that try to attack the free flow of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In every city that Paul entered, there was one group or the other that wanted to attack, and oftentimes he was attacked, and sometimes he was beaten almost to the point of death, but God will always rescue him. And today, the gospel is still under attack in our time, in our days. It's on trial, and many things have come up to see how they can quench the life of the gospel, the fire of the gospel, the grace of the gospel, and the power of the gospel. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. What about the gospel? In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul made a very strong, impact in that statement. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Can we see it? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and unto the Greeks. It is the power of God, and that's why the devil actually wants to make every attempt and every effort to see how this gospel is to be tried, to see how this gospel can be put to the best minimum, so that the impact thereof will not be felt. But one thing is sure, Jesus, when he was speaking to Peter, he told him, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the gospel is the power of God to save. And that's why it happens miraculously, because when a man hears the gospel, before you know, the person's life is transformed, because there is power inherent in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power that brings men out of their sins. It is the power that brings men out of darkness. It is the power of God. The Bible, when Paul was talking to the believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he talked about the gospel that was preached. He said, according to the scriptures, that Jesus died, he resurrected, as was recorded in the scriptures. And right from time, even when after Jesus' resurrection, they tried to paint a picture that there was no resurrection. So there have been so much attack from both sides on the gospel. But one thing is that because it is the gospel of Jesus, no one can quench it. No one can put an end to it. So briefly, we'll look at the ways this gospel has been on trial from the passage that we just read in Acts chapter 21. What are the various ways that this gospel has been on trial? And one of the astounding ones that we can see from the passage that we read is persecution. Persecution. If you look at verse 30 of the Acts chapter 21 that we read, you can see clearly there some of the things that happened. In verse 30, it says, and all the city was disturbed, and they pulled around together and seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple. Immediately the doors were shut. And as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an opera. And immediately took soldiers and sent around that to them. And when they saw the commander and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. You can read on all. You can see that in this place, all that they were trying to do was to stop the gospel. It was one carrying the message. They seized him. They made so many noise about his presence. Say, if you read that passage as we're reading, you remember, say, this is the man who has stopped everyone everywhere against the law, against Moses, and all that. So many things were framed up against this man that was carrying the gospel. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. So intense persecution has been one of these ways that has faced the gospel seriously. Right from the days of old to the present time, the gospel has faced serious persecution, and the goal is to stop it. But Jesus has assured us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Praise the Lord. But we must know, so that when these things begin to happen as we carry the gospel, We will not be surprised. We will not be taken aback. We should know that it is expected if you are indeed carrying the gospel, because you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And the devil will do anything to instigate people that will stand against this light of the gospel. Paul, John, in John chapter 1, he was speaking. He said that the light actually came, but men love darkness rather than the light. So because of that, anything about the light, they want to be against it, to see how they can put an end to it. In that same Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, verse 23, you also see there, in verse 23, it says, then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air, you can imagine, all attempt was to stop. Paul came to the commander, ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thorns, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. You can see that he was beaten, he was slaughtered, all for one thing that he was carrying. So persecution is one of those ways, one of the ways that the gospel has been so tried, has been so, you know, tried to be quenched by men and forces. And one other thing we can see from this very scripture is falsehood and lies. Falsehood, lies is one of the ways that the gospel has been tried at that time. In fact, in verse 28 of the passage we read, Acts 21, look at what it said. Crying out, men of Israel, help. This is a man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greece into the temple and has defiled this holy place. Right from the beginning, lies, falsehood, all to discredit the men of integrity, men who are carrying the gospel. Even when Jesus was to be crucified, they arranged some men that would be able to give some evidences against him so that they can see reasons to kill him. And in fact, the Bible tells that they were all lies. Even in their lies, they could not actually hold any tangible thing against him. So he never has been using lies. This one, they say, this one has said this, this one has said that. So lies, even today, sometimes some persons even believe the lies of the devil. You know, in our contemporary time, you see sometimes someone will just come up with a lie against a prominent man of God, against a believer somewhere, and all their attempts is their attack is on the gospel that the person is carrying. Because once they see that the image of the person is tarnished, they will not give attention to what the person is carrying. So they came up with this lie, saying this man has been teaching everyone everywhere against Moses, against the law. And that was not what Paul was teaching. So lies have been used in same Acts. If you go to chapter 6, in the case of Stephen, when Stephen was, you know, arrested and under trial, they can see from verse 11 of Acts chapter 6, look at what happened there. Then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people, the elders, and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the custom which Moses delivered us. And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. So you can see the lies as well. These are the attempts of the devil to put the gospel under the feet. But God will not allow it. Praise the Lord. Another thing we have seen from scriptures is evil decrees. Evil decrees. Evil laws. Things that we're trying to put up. Trying to use law to work against the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you see that same scripture we read in Acts chapter 23, Acts chapter 23, let's look at verse 12. And when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed Paul. Now there were more than 40 who had formed this conspiracy. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great oath that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul. Now you therefore, together with all the council, suggest to the commander that he be brought down to you tomorrow, as though you were going to make further inquiries concerning him, but were ready to kill him before he comes near." Now, what are they trying to do? They're trying to make their plan to be legal, so that when they do anything, they will not be suspected. Just like some time ago, when the fire government came up and removed the Christian religious stories, you know, from the curriculum, it was an attack against the gospel. It was a clever attack against the gospel. So this man came up. By the time the priests, you know, the head makes the law, and the commander asks for Paul to be brought before the people to look as if they want to try him, but they had an agenda so that they can bring him down. So if such evil decrees, remember where Jesus was born. What did the herald do? He just came up and attacked against his son, saying, "All children below the age of this, all of them should be killed." That was an evil law to attack the purpose, to finish, not to quench that light that was coming up, to bring it to an end. So various ways like this, the gospel has been under attack. In fact, in recent times, if you are familiar with social media, you see that any single thing about the man of God, people blow it so much. I don't know why you are looking at the social media. You know, some may have issues, some may have some problems, and may be true. But some of those things are actually lies that people prepare. All they are doing is that the Christians have started again. What are they fighting? It is the gospel, it is the light that we are carrying. So that people that should hear the gospel and give their life to Christ, when they remember such lies and such stories, is it the church you are telling me to go to? Can see what people are doing there. Look at this one. They will begin to mention names and all that. Some of these stories may be true, but many of them are overblown. It's an attack against the gospel. Praise the Lord. And in Acts chapter 22 that we read, verse 18, you also see a resistance. You see a resistance against the gospel. Resistance against the gospel. Verse 18. Look at verse 18. "On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. When he had greeted them, he told them in detail those things which God had done among Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified God, they glorified the Lord, and they said to him, 'You see, brother, how many myriads of Jews they were who had believed, and they are all zealous for the law.'" Anyway, that's not the passage I was looking for. Well, we see that, you know, Jesus gave us a parable of a king that was going to another country to receive a kingdom. And some of his servants, as he was going, he said, we will not allow this man to reign over us. To reign over us. Even Paul, when he was going on his missionary journeys, in some of the cities that he entered, they raised up an opera, gather crowd to see how they can terminate his appointment there, can terminate his ministry in that very place. That's resistance. They will not want to hear. This man cannot be here. At the time, the response is, the men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Their intent of saying that was to ensure that they do not allow them to continue or to bring the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in that territory that they visited. So there have been so many resistance to the gospel in many places, so that the gospel will not be preached. And one other thing that is very common also is the killing of believers. Very notable example is Stephen in the Bible, in the Acts that we are reading, where Stephen, because of, you know, his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of his stand, for a long time this man was tried, and eventually, if you read chapter 7, verse 58 down 59, you see that he was stoned to death. Why was he stoned to death? Because of this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And he stoned him. Yet he was steadfast. Hallelujah. And in Acts chapter 4, let's look at Acts chapter 4. You also see threats when the apostles, after the Holy Ghost has come upon them, they went out, they began to preach. When the time came, if you read from verse 17 of chapter 4, 17 and verse 18, that's verse 17 and 18. Say, but so that it spread no further. This was the council, the Sanhedrin, talking about the apostles after the healing of that man. Say, so that it spread no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. That's a threat. And so many threats here and there, and tactics that the enemies have used, and even hatred as such. But what should be our response? Let's look at our response. What should be our response? We still look at that Acts chapter 4 that we just read. What should be our response as far as this is concerned? What should be the response of believers? What should be the response of the church? Acts chapter 4. Let's look at verse 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Praise the Lord. So what should be our response? We should persevere. We should persist in this task that Jesus has given to us. The trials, the troubles, the problems should not make us to withdraw. We should not be quiet. We should not feel bad. After all, Jesus, when he was teaching in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, down, he taught us that actually they will be persecuted, will face trial. Men will call us names. No, they will lie against us and many things. All that attack against the gospel. But what should we do? We should persist. Because we know that what we are carrying is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. So nobody can be saved without the gospel. That's why Paul at the time was writing. Say, how can they hear if there's nobody to preach to them? How can they be saved if the gospel is not made available? So we must persevere, we must persist in our preaching of the gospel. We must persist. We must hold on to our faith. Sir, why am I suffering like this? Why am I passing through all these things? Because of my faith, because of my stand. Yes, you have been oppressed. Persist, remain in the faith, and hold firm the banner of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. What other things should be our response? Everybody say, pray. Pray. We must pray. In Acts chapter 4 as well, after the threats that was given to them, the Bible said they went back to their company. If you read from verse 24, they went back to their company. And what did they do? See, so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? Now if you go down to verse 27, see, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom he anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on your threats and grant your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaking. So, one of the things we must do is to pray. You must pray. You must pray for grace. In this place, you can see what they pray for. Say, God, give us boldness to face these threats. Give us boldness to face these temptations. Give us boldness to face what is before us. Boldness to face the death, even to die. Paul in Philippians chapter 1, Paul said, for me to die is what? And to live is what? It's Christ. No, so you need boldness, and that you can get in a place of prayer. So pray for grace, pray for boldness, pray for wisdom, pray for signs and wonders that will actually defy all this, their opera and their challenges. You know, in that Acts chapter 4, we started from chapter 3, you know, this man actually said that a notable miracle has been done by this man, and we cannot deny it. That's what they said to them. See, we cannot just stop because this miracle is obvious. Of course, the man that was in was over 40 years. So it's not a story that they were told. They see this man around them. So there was nothing they could do. Other than say, okay, now don't preach again in the name of this man and all that. When they went back, they began to pray. Pray for wisdom. Pray for signs and wonder. Pray for healings to take place. Pray for signs to follow your ministrations, the preachings. Pray that whatever you do as a believer, we know you will make a difference, that they will know the power of the gospel. Pray for protection, because Jesus sent us out like sheep, you know, in the midst of wolves. So we must pray. We must pray for more grace and more strength. Now, what more thing? What should be our response? Preach more. Preach more. In Acts chapter 5, look at what the apostle said in Acts chapter 5. If you read verse 42, Acts chapter 5, verse 42. These were the men that were persecuted. These were the men that, you know, were threatening to stop. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. I said, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and what? Preaching. What were they preaching? Jesus as what? As the Christ. What this was just a threat to the enemies. This name Jesus. This death of Jesus that brought salvation to men was a threat to them. See, they are filled everywhere with the name of this man, and they are making us to be guilty of his death. The Bible says that daily in the temple and in every house, except there was no house in that place, they preached, they did not cease teaching and preaching as Jesus as the Christ. So that's what we should do. We should not cease. That should be our response. We should preach more. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, also, you see a similar thing. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Remember, after the death of Stephen, the Bible says they were scattered abroad. All of them were scattered. If you read it from verse 1, now Saul was concerning to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And the old men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. But look at verse 4. Therefore, in other words, they took a decision. Therefore, those who were scattered went how? Everywhere. What were they doing? Preaching the word. They went everywhere. It was like the troubles, the persecution, scared of something in their spirit. So when you are persecuted, when men are beginning to call you names because of the gospel, because when you talk about the gospel on trial, it is the carrier of the gospels that bear the bronze. When they begin to call you names, when things are happening as if making you a laughing stock, there should be a scaring in your spirit. In fact, aggressively they went out, even as they were running honorably because of the persecution, they went out. But they preached everywhere the word. So they spread it the more. So one of our response should be the spreading by our words. And so many of us are silent. Some have not even preached at all. Some have not preached, let alone the persecution coming. They have not preached. If you are not preaching, you are not fulfilling a command of the Lord. If you are a child of God indeed. So they went everywhere preaching. Every house, everywhere. So that should be one of our response. It should not stop us. Remember a time when Paul was beaten almost to the point of death, and when he was revived, he left that city for another city. He continued preaching. The Bible tells us after the scattering, that's the death of Stephen, Philip went to Samaria, and there, what did he do? He preached. He was the one that carried the gospel to Samaria. Praise Master Jesus. What should be our response? I've talked about to persevere, that to persist, I'm talking about prayer, we must pray. And I'm talking about we must preach more. What more should we do? The power of the Holy Ghost. We must engage the power of the Holy Ghost. Because it's actually a battle. Holy Ghost is the one that empowers us. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible tells us, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost come upon you and shall be witnesses unto me. So what empowers us to be witnesses is the Holy Ghost. So we must not separate ourselves from the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to be able to witness. We must engage the power of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 6, when they were looking at the case of Stephen, Acts chapter 6, let's look at verse 8. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And the Bible describes Stephen, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. In chapter 7, verse 55, let us also read that. 7, verse 55. Talking about Stephen. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. So we need to be full. You know, there are two things I've seen there in the scriptures. You know, being filled with the Holy Spirit and full of the Spirit. So we must be full of the Spirit. In the first place, we must be filled with the Spirit. No, which has to do with the baptism of the Spirit that empowers you. You know, from that moment when the Spirit came upon them in Acts chapter 2, from that time boldness came upon them. And the ordinary Peter that was afraid before now, you know, became so bold and they preached the gospel and many gave their life to Christ. Having been filled with the Spirit, we must be full of the Spirit to be able to stand. Because we're actually in a terrible time. So if you are not full of the Spirit, if you are not fellowshipping with the Spirit, you are not asking God for more. To be full of the Spirit is to ask God for more of Him, more of the Spirit. It is to fellowship with Him so that you can be empowered. Because in the times that we're in, there's more than what we can see in the scriptures. More to it. So we need to be more empowered by the Spirit. The power, the Bible describes the Spirit in Romans chapter 8. If you read verse 11 down, it talks about the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the power. The power that brought Jesus from the grave is the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we are going to stand and to overcome and to be able to face the trial of the gospel, we must be filled with the Spirit every day. You must ask yourself. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. See, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? They are the sons of God. So you must be led by the Spirit. You need the power of the Spirit. It makes you supernatural because it is the Spirit of God. If you must go above these natural things that are trying to come against God, then you must be empowered to go above the level of the natural. And that's it, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. As we bring this message to a close, what should be our response? What more thing should be our response? We must hear from God what God wants us to do. We must hear from God. You must hear from God. Because actually, in some cases, God may want you to leave a particular place. God may want you to take a particular step. Because you have not sent yourself, because you are not on your own, because the message is not your message, you know, you must hear from Him. What does God want me to do at this point in time? It should be one of our response in times like this. Paul was speaking, when he was speaking before the Festus and the others on the trial, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. We must hear from God. We must seek His face. We must seek His face. I know what He wants us to do at every point in time. Praise Master Jesus. Matthew chapter 28, that will be the last scripture we'll read this morning. and we'll begin to pray. Matthew 28. Now, the last thing I'm talking about is the assurance that we have. The assurance. Matthew 28:20. The assurance. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That's not the part I'm talking about. But this is the second part. And lo, I am with you. How often? Can I hear you chorus it? How often? For how long? For how long? Even to the end of the age. Even to the end of the age. And he said, Amen. So we have an assurance. If you read Isaiah chapter 43, you will see a resemblance of the assurance there also. That when you pass through the fire, the waters and all that, I will what? Be with you. So we have an assurance. There's no need to be afraid. That was what gave Paul the audacity. Can you imagine? The other time, okay, let's remember what Jesus even did. At the time when he told disciples, when he was close to the point of his death, you know, he was going to Jerusalem. Disciples asked him, sir, are you going there again? The other time they wanted to kill you, and you are still going there. Similar thing with Paul, you know, because of the assurance of God's presence, we will not be afraid. Let's stand on our feet as we pray this morning. Let's stand on our feet. We will not be afraid because we have the assurance. Though there are many things out there, you know, many things, the threats, the hatreds, the evil decrees and evil laws, the resistance. You may go to a place to want to preach the gospel and you are not accepted. It should not discourage you, because naturally they will want to resist and reject it. But we must know that they can only reject it for a time. Either they accept it and be welcomed by the Lord Jesus, or they reject it and face his judgment. Just close your eyes this morning and begin to appreciate him for the power of the gospel. Just thank him. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. That's the privilege that we have. Every believer, we have this privilege of the gospel. And in case you are here this morning, you do not have this in your life. You have not been saved. This is an opportunity for you to be saved. Because the gospel is the power of God that can bring you out of that sin. Maybe you are struggling with your sin. You can give your life to Christ this morning. You can repent of your sin. And you will be saved right away. Because it happens by faith. Say the just shall live by faith. Wherever you are, just pray that prayer and ask the Lord for mercy if you have not been saved, so that you can be among those that will carry the gospel. Because it is for those who are saved that will carry it. Just pray and ask for grace to help you in the name of Jesus. And for you others, just pray that God will give you the grace to carry the banner of the gospel. Father, thank you for the privilege. Lord, I thank you for the privilege. Lord, I thank you for the grace. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the power of the gospel. Lord, I thank you because you have given us an assurance that you will neither leave us nor forsake us. You have given us an assurance that you will be with us always, even unto the end of the age. So we are not afraid of the threats. We are not afraid of the killings. We are not afraid of all the persecutions. We are not afraid, oh Lord, of the lies of the devil. For we know that you are able to deliver us. You are able to fight for us. You are able, Lord, to stand by us in the trying times. Thank you, precious Father. Take all the glory and praise. Blessed be your name. We worship and adore you because you are faithful. Lord, we ask that these words that we have heard today, Lord, we continue to boost our faith in you and encourage us to preach the gospel irrespective of what we are passing through or that we will be passing through in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Return all glory and praise to you forever. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.